This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Throw on some tights and unroll your yoga mats. It is the yoga episode of the TriDot Podcast. I have three TriDot coaches joining the fun to talk to us about how triathletes can incorporate yoga into their multi-sport lifestyle. Our first coach joining us is Coach Joanna Namy. Joanna is better known as Coach JoJo and has been coaching athletes with TriDot since 2012. She is a co-founder of Hissy Fit Racing, a member of the Betty Design Elite Squad, and has 19 Ironman finishes on her accomplished triathlon resume. She is a Kona qualifier racing on the Big Island for the second time this year. As our director of TriDot Pool School, her passion is getting athletes faster and more comfortable in the water. Coach Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Andrew. Super excited to be here with my best buddies, Kurt, Andrew, and Brandy. Super excited to talk about yoga practice today.
As Joanna said, next up is TriDot coach Kurt Madden. Kurt is a pioneer of the sport and a 10-time Kona finisher. He has three top 10 finishes at the Ironman World Championships and is a four-time North American age group champion and is a four-time number one ranked age group American all-world athlete. And as if 140.6 miles is not enough for you, Kurt is also a two-time Ultraman World Champion. And in 2019, he was inducted into the Ultraman World Championships Hall of Fame. In addition, he has a master's degree in exercise physiology. Coach Kurt, how's it going today?
Andrew, it is so great to be back on the podcast, and I'm really looking forward to sharing some insights about yoga and how people can be successful.
Rounding out our coach panel today is TriDot coach Brandy Ramirez. Her passion is to empower women and young girls, and as such, she is the president and CEO of She Strong Incorporated. Brandy is also a cancer survivor and founded the Monarch Triathlon Super Half, which funds scholarships for girls who lose their mother to cancer. Brandy has been coaching with TriDot since 2020. Welcome to the show, Brandy.
Thank you for having me, Andrew. I'm so excited to be here with my friends, JoJo and Kurt, and yourself. I'm excited for this episode, too.
I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then wind things down with Vanessa taking things over on the cooldown. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
There are lots of gizmos and gadgets triathletes can buy. Some are big, some are small, some are more expensive, and some are less expensive. And what I want to hear on today's warm-up question, what is one small purchase that made a big impact on your triathloning? Coach Brandy, first time on the show, I will kick this your way first.
Well, thank you. So one small purchase that I got back when I started in 2008, I had really long hair, and so I wore it in a ponytail all the time. Living in Arizona, it does get cold in the winter. So my small must-have purchase was a beanie from Athleta that has the little hole in the back so you could just pull your ponytail right through. It was a game changer.
Oh, well, yeah, that is a small purchase. It is it could make a big difference. If you are a ponytail athlete, male or female, you can absolutely look into the Athleta little beanie. Yep, that's great. Not a problem for me or Kurt, I imagine, but yeah. Coach Joe, what is one small purchase that's made a big difference in your triathlon training?
I had a really hard time with this, Andrew, because there are no small purchases in triathlon.
Oh.
I do love my lever system that I use on the treadmill. I am, as I say, I hate running. So I tend to get injured a lot. And so I do love the lever system that attaches to the treadmill. It's not a very small purchase, but it is, you can put it in its case and travel with it. So it is portable, but it does take weight off of you and allows you to run easier on the joints. But if we want to go really small, I advocate that all my athletes buy these Mentos gum containers and use them.
Yeah,
because they're an attached lid, and all of my athletes I've ever coached use them in endurance racing. They fit nicely in a women's bra, sports bra. So they are awesome for salt and for any meds you're carrying during, you know, half or full Ironman. So that would be a super small purchase that is very handy.
Yep, your initial answer is, to me, not a small purchase, but your second answer definitely is a tiny, tiny purchase. Coach Kurt Madden, what is a small purchase for you that makes a big difference in your swim, bike, and run?
You know, again, Andrew, on this question, I really had to do some soul searching. I had to really kind of think back through my artifacts to say, what's the one small purchase that's made a huge difference? And it actually came fairly easy, which, Andrew, I think you can appreciate right now. It's something called Desitin, and it's very nice. It can be your best friend during a triathlon, especially during the bike and during the run. I'll give you a couple, you know, quick stories. I was in Coeur d'Alene and I didn't quite use enough Desitin, and I'm rolling through an aid station and I'm yelling like, who has Vaseline? And they're like, whoa, I knew they didn't have Desitin. So I thought I'd go with Vaseline. Guess what? I came up short there. And then we fast forward.
Wasn't the same.
No, it wasn't the same, even if they would have it, but it was better than what I was experiencing at the time. Just one of those rare days on the bike where it's like, wait a minute, that's not in the lineup or the game plan. Conversely, if I go forward now and I go to Ironman Texas, in fact, JoJo, maybe she didn't remember this, but there was someone that was seated almost next to JoJo, and I came up to her like very innocently, and I said, how was your race? And she said to me, don't you get it? And I said, no, tell me about your race. She goes, there's three things going on right now. I said, what's that? She goes, I'm tired, I'm sunburned, and I'm chafed. And I said, whoa,
yeah,
got it. And then I told her about the Desitin, and she goes, oh my goodness, that is a game changer. So I think today, Andrew, it is actually still about $5 for a nice, say, 4 ounce, you know, tube, which will last you for at least a couple races. So that's going to be my go-to, my small purchase.
Kurt, I almost pulled the same answer. For me, it's not Desitin. For me, I love our partners here at Tridot, Two Toms. They have the roll-on and the wipe version of kind of chamois cream. And anywhere I've put my Two Toms wipes, I have not gotten any form of skin irritation or rash or chafing. So my friends at Two Toms, just kind of like your Desitin. Very small product, goes a long way for the triathlete, makes a big difference. The answer I'm going to give here is not that, although I had to plug my friends at Two Toms. I looked around and kind of same thing. I was like, man, like, what is something that really made a huge difference? I am going to plug my front between the aero bar hydration system. And I'm a simple guy. I like the just having a normal bottle there. But if it's just a normal bottle, I am way less likely to take the time to break out of my aero bars and grab the bottle and pull it out and take a sip and put it back in. I'm just not going to do it nearly as often as I should. I need a straw there, and nobody sells just a normal bottle that's there that has a straw. So I found it is the Vision Hydration System DS1. It has this front kind of attachment that can screw on to any normal water bottle. And that front attachment, it's a little plastic piece. It has a straw and it has a really, really good hole that you can refill the bottle every time you hit an aid station with another bottle. You can put any bottle in there and just screw on this kind of front attachment, and you got a straw there. And if there's a straw in front of my face, I'm going to sip water as often as I can. It makes it so much easier to do so. I'm not going to miss any of my feedings having that in front of me. So that's what it is for me. I'm going to post that name in the comments. I'll probably show this on the YouTube show just so people can see what I'm talking about, because I'm not describing it very well. But that's his answer for me. Anything that gets you drinking more water while you're racing and training is a great thing. We're going to kick this over to you, our audience. Make sure you're part of the I Am Trotted Facebook group, where I'm going to ask this question. What is a small thing that's made a big difference in your triathlon training and racing? I cannot wait to see what you have to say.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Extremely excited to have Two Toms as the anti-chafing partner of Tridot. Two Toms is always working on revolutionary new products designed to prevent chafing, blisters, odors, and sweat. Their passion is to keep you moving and training. As triathletes, we can certainly have our training and racing thrown off by not taking care of our skin. So when the folks at Two Toms told us that they had the best chafing and blister protection products, we had to give them a try. In fact, we took a huge goodie bag of Two Toms anti-chafing towelettes with us to our last Trotted Ambassador Camp, and we asked for our athletes' honest and candid feedback. The review from those 70-plus tried-out athletes was immensely positive. Many folks placed orders that day and made the switch to using Two Toms. Ever since, I've been using Sport Shield in my own training and racing and having great results with happy skin in all the right places. Two Toms has Sport Shield, Blister Shield, Butt Shield, Foot Shield, and their stink-free odor-removing spray and detergent. So whoever you are and whatever skin protection you need, Two Toms has you covered. Two Toms is in the Metadyne family of brands, so go to Metadyne.com to pick up some Two Toms today. And when you do, use promo code TRIDOT for 20% off your order. The list of physical activities we can do to help our swimming, biking, and running feels endless. It really does. We can strength train in a number of ways, we can recover in a number of ways, and we can work on our stability and mobility in a number of ways. And one of those ways is through yoga. The three yoga-loving coaches on our panel today will catch us up to speed on the benefits of yoga for the triathlete and how to work yoga into your training routine. Brandi, Kurt, Joe, to kick things off today, take me back to your very first experience with yoga. Where was it? How did you get into it? And what was your first impression? Let's go, Coach Brandi here.
So for me, when I was younger, my mother was a prima ballerina. So she put me into ballet, right? By the time I was 10, I hated it. So I switched all the way to hip hop as far as away from ballet as I
could. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Respect. So,
when I was 18, I lived in Vegas and I went to a gym, which, you know, was a few years ago. They were offering yoga before it was really super popular. So I went in by accident, honestly. I thought it was the kickboxing class and I was an hour too early. So I was already in the room, so I was stuck. So we started doing yoga and I realized that I didn't know the Sanskrit words to the movements, but a lot of the movements are from ballet. And so I did the hour and I was instantly hooked after that.
All right. Yeah, very, very great. Coach Joe.
Mine probably started way back when I started, training for my first half Ironman and Ironman races. Again, I always say that I hate running and I hurt when I run. So I would often plan at the YMCA to do half my long run in the middle, do a yoga class, and then finish with the second half of the run. It made the run bearable for me and broke it up. It was the only way that I could keep going in training. It was the only way that I could handle the endurance training because, you know, I'm tall and it's just hard on the joints. And I had a long, long career in, you know, with ended in college cheerleading, a lot of pounding on the joints. And it was the only way that I felt like that I could stay in the game and be healthy and continue training for Ironman.
So for me, when I went, and I'll go first and I'll kick it over to you, Kurt, to round us out here. Mine's kind of like Brandi. I kind of just stumbled into a yoga class. Back in college, I was working out at a gym near my university. And a good friend of mine who actually is now a tryout athlete, Jonathan Mejia, tryout ambassador, he was a personal trainer at the gym that I worked out at. And one time I was in the gym and he was kind of coming off a training session with a client. And he was like, hey, I'm about to jump into this yoga class. Why don't you join me? And I'm like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, because I've done it a couple of times. It's actually really great. Okay, cool. Let's try it. And so we walk in and neither of us had a lot of experience in it. Like we both started the class, like, and we were the only males in the class. So we're in the back. We're clearly a little bit out of place. We're these two college guys in a room full of soccer moms doing yoga. And they were awesome at it. And they were very gracious to us. We were probably 10 minutes in. And one of the ladies near us was like, hey, you guys will probably really enjoy this a lot better if you take your shoes off. We're like, oh. And so we took our shoes off. And all of a sudden, all the poses we were doing, like a lot of the stuff at the ankle became a lot easier. And that was my first impression. It was a great first impression. And I haven't really done yoga a ton since, admittedly. And I'm excited to learn more about it today. Coach Kurt, first yoga experience.
For me, it was actually in January of 2022 where I swam. There's a lot of great swimmers. One in particular reached out to me multiple times, like, I think yoga is going to make a big difference. And I said, well, maybe after Ironman Arizona. I push it off. Finally, I got up enough nerve to go to this yoga studio in La Jolla. So I let them know, hey, I am a novice. I am a beginner. I am not going to be on the podium. Really be nice to me. And they said, not a problem at all. As soon as I walked in the studio, the first thing that caught my attention was it was only 105 degrees. There were mirrors everywhere. So immediately I went to the back of the class, just like any new student. And she let me know before we started, hey, you can hold on to the wall for the poses and you can definitely use the brick because this might be a little tough for you. And I said, okay. And you know, it was really a surreal experience because I didn't know if I was like Russell Crowe in the movie Gladiator. I didn't know if I was going to be like Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing or I was going to be John Travolta in Staying Alive. And then it was just like, you know, as I started, I actually made it through the warm-up in the first 20 minutes. And I'll tell you, I almost did a back handspring. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm 20 minutes into it. And I made it through the warm-up. I haven't died yet. And then my Garmin starts going off saying, your body is experiencing stress. You should probably relax. And I'm talking to my watch. I know I'm in hot yoga. And I can tell you in that first class, I think I failed every single pose. It was humbling. And it was nice because...
But you made it through the warm-up.
Yeah, I made it through the warm-up. I swore myself I'm not going to DNF because I know science well enough. If I get down toward the floor, it should be cooler. But I want to tell you, it didn't matter if I was stand sideways or on the floor, the heat was the same. I could not wait for the last 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes of my life, because it was humbling. It challenged me. And it really put me in check to say, you know what? If you stay with this, you're going to get better.
So even in my very entry-level knowledge of yoga, I'm aware of several different types of yoga. Kurt, you just referenced your initial class was hot yoga. I know there is goat yoga. I know you can stream yoga classes on YouTube or you can stream different fitness platforms. They have yoga components. And of course, there are your local gyms with yoga classes. I'm sure there are more variations of yoga than that. For the athlete interested in yoga, what are the options out there? And which should we consider? Coach Joe.
I have to add, because I had an experience at hot yoga and I only went one time in my life.
Do
there
tell.
Was not Do tell. Enough beach towels in a Walmart to deal with my situation. I had people staring at me like they were about to call 911 because I had a serious medical condition. It was a swimming pool around me, but it was traumatizing for me. I am far more the more YMCA, my local natatorium. I am always training on a budget. And this that's the wonderful thing about yoga. If you are near a YMCA or if you have your local training facility, there are classes almost everywhere. Secondly, you can find it on YouTube. It's free. It is accessible for every triathlete, every athlete, every person. And that's what's so wonderful about it. You can better your training without spending any money. I tell my athletes, we are go, 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 go type of people. When it comes to work, family, training, we never stop in society. And it was the first time that it caused me to slow down and to really focus on my breath. So, you know, Bikram, any relaxing type of yoga was good for me. That was a good choice for me. It strengthened my mental focus. It taught me to slow down a little bit when training was so hectic. There are tons of different types. A lot of them have different benefits, and Brandy is a great expert on this as well as Kurt. So I'll let them explain some of the types that they enjoy.
Brandy, do tell.
Yeah, well, so I became so fascinated with yoga and Pilates that in 2007, I became a certified yoga instructor and a certified Pilates instructor. You could do vinyasa, which is like a build. So you'll start at one pose and you'll work through other poses, but you always go back to the initial pose and you start there and you just build from there. There's easy flow, which is just an easy like stretch yoga that you can do. But for me personally, I love Kundalini, which is an energy yoga. So you tap into your energy and the energy around you. And then I love Bikram. And so for me, when I teach what is called power yoga. You know, like I like to push myself. Go figure. When I teach yoga, it is a mix between Kundalini and Bikram. So I'm going to use all of my muscle groups. I'm going to create power and speed, but I'm also going to stretch everything in my body.
That sounds great to me. That sounds, sign me up. Sign me up for that. Coach Kurt, anything to add here?
Yeah, what I would add, I think we have to start with the why of the athlete, of why they're doing yoga. And it kind of goes back to Joe. if I look at an athlete that, for example, I know that I race in hot places. I race in Texas and I race in Hawaii. So for me, it's a double win because I can get the heat and the stretching simultaneously. I'm not telling you that it's all enjoyable, but I know at the end of the day when I'm done, I can check that box. So I like the Bikram, just like, you know, Brandy said. The Hatha, that's another version of yoga that you can tap into. I think that's a good one to choose from. If you're a kind of more in advance, the Vinyasa, I've done that. I'm not quite ready as a kind of year and a half into yoga. I don't have a lot of success there yet. But the bottom line is this, and I'm gonna mention it a couple times. What drives that train is the instructor. The instructor will make it or break it. So I think as people are doing their research, you can do it online, you can do it on an app. But I think for me, it's like pool school. You need to have those fundamentals so you've got good habits, someone that's giving that corrective feedback. Otherwise, you think you're doing it, and you know what? You might be really off your mark.
Yep, no, great point. The class that I did way back in college, the first portion of the class, we were just holding a lot of poses, and it just felt like you were holding. I have no idea what type of yoga it was, but we were holding these poses for a long time, like to the point that your muscle groups that were in charge of holding your body in that position, I was just shaking, right? Just absolutely shaking. And it felt productive. It felt like it was really building up certain muscle groups and really building some of the stability portions of my joints. And then as it got deeper and deeper into the class, it kind of transitioned into that more peaceful, relaxing, deep breathing, relaxing pose kind of stuff to the point that, like, when the class was over, like, I'd worked my body, but I was so relaxed. And like, I told my friend, I was like, I don't know the last time I felt this like stress-free. This is also a question that comes just out of naivety for me. I think I know that yoga helps us with stability and mobility, having us hold poses that increase strength and flexibility. But take us deeper than that. What is happening in our bodies from yoga session to yoga session? And I'll go to our certified yoga teaching coach, Coach Brandy, first on this one.
So in yoga, what you're really working on in your stretches is your connective tissues. And that's something that a lot of triathletes can overlook, right? Or even just football players, you have football players now that are forced to go do yoga. They used to be forced to go do ballet. And it was because those poses create strength in your connective tissues. That's in your ankles, in your knees, in your hip flexors, in your shoulders, all the things that are going to hold those major muscle groups together. They get neglected when people are doing weights. They're not focusing on their knees and those little connective tissues that you need in there. And you need to strengthen that if you expect to be on your body, if you expect to push your body. So if you want to get faster, you have to pay attention to those connective tissues.
Yeah, great. Coach Kirk, anything to add there?
The first thing, and JoJo does a great job with this, it's just the breathing. I just like to start with that breathing. You start with the breathing at the beginning and you end with the breathing at the end of the class. And I think that is really key for all of our athletes. So it's that mental focus. I think it also forces you to focus on one muscle group at a time. Like you said, Andrew, when you literally have to hold a pose for 60 seconds on one leg, that seems like 60 hours. It's like, oh my God, yeah. It can't be 60 seconds. Do they have like a pace clock in there so I can kind of watch it? And that's incredible. So you're trying to build the muscle memory. Like Brandy said, it's connective tissue, it's ligaments, it's tendons, it's the muscle group, and really put some stress on your long bones. And I think when we look at that, you've got the balance. That is key for all of our athletes. Body awareness. I think that is another key. The other thing that people don't realize about strength training and yoga is it really improves your nervous system. There's something called the motor end plate at the very end. And through research, they've pointed out that people that are doing strength training all the time and yoga, their reaction time is a lot quicker. I like a fast reaction time, especially in a triathlon, if I'm going to encounter a bike crash, or if JoJo is going to cut me off on the swim, or Brandy races by me on the river.
Sorry, I think that's her. Sorry.
Don't apologize, though.
The other thing, too, though, is that you're getting a good workout, but there's no trauma, like JoJo said, when you're running. There's no micro trauma. So I think in a way, it really takes stock on what's working, what's not. But it's a continuous refinement of, say, Kaizen, that it's continuous improvement. You're never going to get to a finish line with yoga. But it's something that if you do on a regular basis, it's really going to pay huge dividends down the line.
The only thing I would add is we are part of a culture and a society, especially in triathlon, that like we have to schedule downtime. We have to schedule you know, self-care and relaxation. And I'm guilty of it myself. I mean, I'll spend an hour on social media a day, but I can't spend 20 minutes, you know, doing a yoga flow and focusing on my breath. And if we were more diligent, I think, in having that self-care time and focusing on breathing and calming the nervous system, that is so amazing for mental health. And I don't think we focus on it enough. So there's so many beautiful things about yoga. It does advance our training, as Curtis said. It makes us better athletes. But it also, you know, makes us better humans. I would just encourage people to, even if you have to schedule it, you know, challenge yourself to say, I'm just going to do 10 minutes three times this week, you know, and I'm going to learn more about it. I'm going to become a student of yoga and just start to learn more. And I think you'll see the benefits in all aspects of your life.
If I can jump in real quick too, Andrew, when you were sharing your story, when you were talking about your body, how it was shaking at that moment, what is happening is your muscle memory is resetting itself. You've pushed your muscle memory to a point where it hasn't been there yet. Wow. So the body is shaking to try to reprogram itself. And what you're doing as an athlete is you're focusing on not falling over, but you're also focusing on breathing and holding yourself in that position. That's lowering your heart rate. And we're all zone trained athletes, right? So if you can learn to control your heart rate, control your breathing, put you into a different zone, it's going to make you a better athlete when you're out on the race course.
So Brandy, with all that in mind, just with all those physical just adaptations your body's doing, the resetting of the central nervous system that Kurt was talking about, the relaxing and the focus on breathing that Joe was talking about, you know, why is yoga so good for triathletes? Why do the three of you practice it? And is this something you like to see your athletes do as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The main thing about yoga is it's going to protect you from getting injured. That's huge.
Yeah.
None of us want to be injured. None of us want downtime. You know, like I'll share a story. I supinate when I run, right? And I've been trying to correct this for a super long time. But the fact that I was a ballerina, I stepped to the inside of my center. That's where you're taught to land. Because my ankles are so strong, I can't tell you how many times I have rolled my ankles, but because the connective tissue is so strong, I don't break it. I roll and I catch myself and I don't actually fall. And so all of these things that you can do through yoga will strengthen all these connective tissues, which will help you to create a solid body so you don't get injured.
Kurt, for you, do you like seeing your athletes do yoga? What's the benefit for the triathlete?
The real question or the real response on this is why not yoga? It's not why would you, it's why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Because we have so much more knowledge right now. And I think what I've found in my short journey in yoga that I want to continue for many, many years, it is a very positive addiction. I don't think it's a placebo effect. I can tell you honestly and candidly, I've done a lot in my life. Some things I won't repeat, but with yoga, it's a positive addiction where my body craves it. I can just, it's like a cup of coffee or, you know, some sweet tarts or whatever you want to engage in. You really, really, really want that. I think that's good. Plus, it's the variety of your training. I think that's so important. You know, Brandy touched on injury prevention. If you can prevent injury, that's money in the bank. Think about your range of motion. Think about your nervous system. Think about your recovery. The thing we haven't even talked about is your posture. When you're on a trainer and you're in arrow for many hours, guess what? You become kind of a hunchback. All of a sudden you're doing yoga, you're doing a half moon. It's like, oh my gosh, hey, this is kind of cool. So when doing that, you have to think of like, if you just swim, bike, and run, it's like you're only going to have maybe like Mexican food. I don't want anything else. I'm going to eat Mexican food 7 days a week. Hey, you know what? There's more food out there. What if you went with Thai food? What if you went with some Indian cuisine? So the more variety, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I think JoJo will appreciate this. With our tried out pool schools, I can tell you that if more people did yoga type routines when they'd show up, they would be not experiencing so much discomfort. And I know when I went through it, they're like, man, you're like a rubber band. I'm going, oh no, you're way too nice, but I can actually do it.
That's the yoga.
That's the yoga. And I think for me, I just thought through, you know, in preparation for this last year, I raced 8 times. Some people like saying, hey, that's over the top. I think I could do that and I could do it well and avoid injuries because of yoga. And just saying that's injury prevention right there. So I think, again, we have to challenge our people to say, hey, 30-day challenge right now. All of our listeners, start your first yoga class and bring a friend.
Ooh, Ooh, you've been challenged by Coach Kurt Madden. Coach Joe, do you have your athletes do yoga?
Oh, they get really, really, really tired of me talking about it. And I think some of them lie to me and don't really do it. But, you know, we're always balancing a long journey of training for an Ironman, and that will include family trips. And I will often tell them, hey, okay, no access to bike or pool for, you know, this week. I want you to substitute with, you know, a 20-minute yoga session, 20-minute strength training. But the other things I want to add about yoga is how expensive, you know, I talk about our sport is. You can walk away from a really good instructor in a really good yoga class feeling like you had a massage and a therapy session. And that is key. I am not kidding. And I have told my athletes,
not joking.
Yeah. Because you'll walk out and be like, whew, it did a number on my body, but it did a number on my mind. And that's so important, you know. And so
Kurt and Brandy are both nodding their heads.
And I encourage my athletes. Yeah. And then I coach a lot of, you know, menopausal, perimenopausal women who come to me and say, I'm experiencing migraines mid-afternoon. I'm experiencing GI issues. And I said, yoga is not only for flexibility and injury prevention. There are poses that you can do right before going to bed that help you with sleep, with GI, with migraine prevention. There are so many different ways to use yoga as a way to better all aspects of your health.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that passionate plea for athletes to do yoga. And I hope your athletes are, because I know you will give them the earful about it if they're not doing their yoga as Coach Joe prescribes. This is something for me, like where I'm at right now. You know, I think I mentioned on the podcast before, I mean, the three of you as friends of mine know, you know, my wife and I had a newborn back in March. And so we are neck deep in taking care of a newborn and all the sleep deprivation and our, you know, feedings and everything, and just the overhauling of your schedule that comes along with that. So for this season of my life, I feel like 30-minute runs here and there and 30 minutes followed by 30 minutes of yoga, you know, right afterwards just feels like such a good fit to keep the body moving, to keep the mobility there, the stability. And it's almost like, you know, for me and my wife, it's like, hey, like don't let me go a day without one or the other or both. Because I need it for just the mental clarity, for the reset, for that me time, and to keep my body kind of moving in this season where I'm not able to train as much as I would like to. And we've had a number of fabulous podcast episodes with Dr. BJ Leeper, our resident expert on functional movement. And for the record, BJ did give his blessing for the four of us to talk about yoga today without him. He knows you three know your stuff. But something that BJ always emphasizes that I wanted to bring up is the importance of triathletes identifying deficiencies in their movement patterns. And I know when I go to do yoga, I'm going to find out where I have deficiencies in my movement patterns, because they are there for sure. As we work towards getting those patterns healthier, what role can yoga play in that process? Brandy?
Well, there's a couple of different telltale signs in your body. So if like your thighs are too tight, that can cause runner's knee, or it can cause the patella tendonitis, right? So if you can learn to stretch out your thighs, you can avoid having runner's knee. If your glutes or your quads are too tight, that can alternate the way that your legs can go behind the body. It will alternate the way that you walk or you run. So if you're just doing strength training all the time and those two muscles are too tight, you're going to not be running effectively the way that you want to be running. If your hip flexors are too tight, it's going to cause sciatica pain and lower back pain. And so if you can learn to stretch all of these muscle groups out, which are huge for us triathletes, right? I mean, we're on the bike, we're using our legs. We're on the run, we're using our legs. If you can learn to stretch those through yoga, you can be a better competitor, a faster athlete off the bike, off the run.
Coach Kurt, anything to add here?
When you look at some bike run, we're moving in the sagittal plane. We're moving forward all the time. What I find with athletes, especially in the later half of the season, the injuries really start to creep up because they haven't moved enough laterally. They haven't supplemented their training. So I think what I've found in yoga, and I'm sure Brandy and JoJo will concur, your deficiencies will show up immediately. There's no hiding. First of all, what about your balance? If your balance is great, that's super. But, you know, on one side, maybe not. What about your mobility? The other thing is the mental aspect. JoJo touched on that. Your ability to focus. I think as triathletes, the more we can teach athletes to focus, the more they're going to be successful in their training and the sport. It's really going to be evident that you can go through a series of poses And you could pull one off on one leg with one pose, but all of a sudden you get another pose with the same leg and you're going, oh my gosh, there's no way I cannot hold that. You know, we talked about injury prevention. We talked about adding more strength training. But I think when you look at yoga, when you look at muscle balance, and you talk about what BJ talked about, I remember the podcast intimately, and I shared it with all my athletes. He talked about yoga. He talked about your core. He talked about your glutes. Go back to swimming with the pool school. JoJo, we talk about it all the time. Your core, if you're not working on your core, you're not going to be as strong in the pool as you could be. So you add yoga into it, into the mix, it's going to make you a better swimmer. And I know I recently did a 400-yard time trial, and I was going into a turn, a flip turn, and all of a sudden my ankle was so flexible. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to take an extra stroke. And I hit that wall, and I'm like, you know what? Yoga got the assist on that one. So those are little things I think that we need to do to say, again, why not? It really, it makes sense.
Coach Joe, I've been with you in places like the track, places like going for group rides and just as athletes chit chat, you know, before, after, during workouts, I've seen people like, oh yeah, my such and such is kind of bugging me right now. And you will jump into the conversation and you will find out what's bothering them. And you will, I've seen you suggest to athletes, oh, you should incorporate this pose, you know, once a day, whatever it is. How do you like kind of spot prescribing certain things to your athletes that try to help them stay healthy in their functional movement?
You know, usually an athlete will come to you and say, you know, I'm having, you know, shoulder issues, or, you know, I'm super tight pectoral muscles. And the great thing about yoga is, I like what you said, Andrew, was, you know, I'm just struggling to get a 30-minute run in. You can do two poses. You can do two poses in the grocery store line. You don't have to do a full flow. You don't have to go to a class. That's a luxury that a lot of us don't have as far as time. So when I just kind of plant the seed with them, like, hey, you know, they're like, you know, I my feet are super tight. You know, I'm having PF, plantar fasciitis issues. I'm like, hey, sit down with me. Let's do lion pose just for a second. And they're like, oh, this hurts my feet. You know, like, that's the first time they've had any exposure to yoga practice. And it's funny, you know, and then they'll be like, hey, I did it, coach, I did it three times this week and I'm feeling better already. Or I'll tell them for pool school, I'm like, you know, let's do this position, you know, let's do camel, let's open up our chest. This is so good for you in that we're constantly hunched over in an arrow position or swimming only freestyle and no other stroke. So let's try this to do some chest openers. It doesn't have to be a full fancy yoga class. It can be just a few things at first for them to just get a little bit exposure of the benefits of some of these yoga poses.
So I like that, Joe. We're kind of talking a little bit about how as triathletes, you know, some people have all the time in the world. Most people don't have all the time in the world. So how does yoga compare to some of the other things that we can do? I mean, things like, obviously we're swimming, biking, and running, but then we have to fit in things like strength work. It's good to fit in some stretching. It's good to fit in some soft tissue work. Some people like turning to Pilates or spending time in a sauna. There are a lot of different modalities we can take advantage of to improve our body, to work on our body outside of swim, bike, and run. Where should yoga fit in alongside of these things? Is it more important than some of these things? Is it used well in conjunction of some of these things? You know, how is you as a coach? Obviously, I selected three coaches for this episode who are very pro yoga, and that's great. But just realistically, for your athlete who you know is trying to fit in a lot, where would you prioritize yoga in conjunction with the other things going on in their life? Coach Kurt.
You know, it's really case by case. I think what's important, the benefit of having a coach like Brandy and JoJo, is that you do that needs assessment. You really kind of get into that profile of what's happened in the past, where are you right now, where do you want to go? And I think the appropriate response, it really supplements. I don't think in this day and age you can do a standalone. I think it's just like cooking. You've got so much in your arsenal, but it really, really makes common sense, because I think that with the athlete, they're going to start to see a lot of success and also understand Rome was not built in a day. In other words, you can't go to one yoga class and check the box and go, I'm good now. It's just something, it's like an atomic habit. You do it again and you do it again and you do it again. Give it a whole season. Give it a whole season. Implement that one protocol with everything else. And I think ideally, if the athlete, kind of the industry standard for my athletes on my roster, I try to really be professionally persistent with two strength training sessions, but also add the yoga as a third. The other thing too, I'm going to go back to what I see happening all the time, is that especially in the second half of the year, as JoJo and I know that we're going to Kona, 70% of those athletes, if I did a poll and they were brutally honest, they have some type of injury. Others are saying, I just want to get this race done because they're overtrained. It's the accumulation of stress versus let's maybe back it down like 6 weeks going into Kona. You've done your homework. You've done your heavy lifting. You've done your long rides. Let's do more of that. And then in the off season, game changer. What a way to transition.
Coach Brandy, what do you think along these lines as well?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. With my athletes, towards the end of the week is where I try to fit in a yoga session. I mean, if it was up to me, they would be doing, 20 minutes every day. Okay. But, after a long build week, like definitely do it on your Saturday or Sunday so that you can stretch out all those muscles and all of those gains from the week. Your body really needs some downtime and it needs to unwind.
So Brandy, I love the recommendation of, in an ideal world, they would be doing 20 minutes a day. And because some people might hear that and they might be able to do that alongside the other things they're already doing. But just for that once a week, is that once a week enough for it to make a meaningful difference?
It would depend, honestly, on what kind of yoga class they're doing, okay, how long they're doing it, depends on the poses that they're hitting in that yoga class. So, but yeah, if you do, a good session of yoga for 1 hour at the end of your week, it can really loosen everything, not just the body, like mentally, emotionally, it can really reset you and get you ready for that next week of training.
Gotcha. No, very, very great. Coach Joe, what do you think here in terms of, cause I know you do the strength work. I know you do yoga. I know you do several things on top of your swim, bike, and run. Where does yoga fit into the order of priority for you?
I do coach a lot of women. I do think it is based on female and male and age. All my female athletes over 35, girls, do not neglect your big weight. So I am huge on heavy lifting, and that is the only way we're going to stay in the game and be competitive. So that does take a lot of emphasis for me when I'm coaching these women and men. I'm like, strength is huge. I want those two sessions at a minimum done every week. I love what Kurt and Brandy have said, but I'm going to be that mom that, like, my three kids didn't know that the yoga mat didn't lay by the coffee table every night for the last 20 years. And if it means you're going to watch The Voice and American Idol and do 20 poses, that's what's going to happen. I can't always get to a class. I rarely can, but that works for my life. That works for it. I challenge myself to do what I can with what's on my plate. As far as my athletes go, I kind of give them the, there's no excuse, because I know you're sitting there watching TV, or I know you're on social media. So put it down.
Guilty.
And just do five, just do five poses and hold them for a minute each for me. It doesn't have to be perfect science. It doesn't have to be perfect, but I want you to tell me how you felt after you did it. Did you feel a benefit? Did you feel less aches and pains? Was your run better the next day? All of those things. So, I tell my athletes, this is, a mantra that they have is, we have to have grace for ourselves, and we're trying to make this training perfect. And there is no perfect training. So if you can add just a touch, and build, as Kurt said, on your practice, start small, and then, make it more of a permanent part of your training, I think that's huge.
So Joe has already really given us some good tips for kind of some hacks, some of her hacks for fitting it in, getting it in. Coach Brandy and Kurt, just from the two of you, what other tips do you have for your athletes on working yoga into the weekly routine? Brandy?
Yeah, so I'm really big with this thing called Breath of Fire. And it's a really good way to start your morning, right? So most of us, our alarm goes off and we jump out of our bed and we have to just take off, right? We don't really set our day. We don't really initiate our day with a good mindset. So the Breath of Fire is something that is deep in the diaphragm. And that's something you will find with a lot of yoga instructors. When we instruct, most of our people don't know how to breathe. You ask people to take a deep breath in and all of them raise their shoulders up, right? They're not breathing down in the diaphragm, right? So it should come way down deep in the diaphragm. And it's something that you can actually see if somebody could breathe properly. Like I could show you, and your neck muscles were like, They go in, right? So it comes down into the diaphragm. And so in the morning, like I like to have my athletes lay in bed, put their hand on their belly button, and it's called the breath of fire because you can warm up the inner parts of your body from just the way that you're breathing. They're short, controlled breaths. It's not in the chest. It's not up here. I try to tell my athletes, start your day with a good intention. When your alarm goes off, hit that button, take 2 minutes, put that hand on the belly button, and it's a very quick, it's a very quick breath, and just do it for a minute. Start your day off good. Get good, clean oxygen into the body. Get yourself worked up and ready to face your day. So even if that's the only thing they do, at least they started their day off right. But there are so many different things you can do. Like I'm sitting in this chair right now and I'm stretching my feet. Like my toes are under, my ankles down, like I'm rolling my feet. You can do almost any kind of stretch anywhere at any given time. And like JoJo said, yeah, you could be in the grocery store and you can do a stretch. You drop your keys. Okay. Instead of bending at the knees to get down and bend over at the hips and stretch the legs and pick the keys up. There are so many times in your day that you can incorporate as any kind of stretch, any kind of yoga.
Well, so this podcast episode, as always, will come out on a Monday. And then our YouTube episode for the week will come out on a Wednesday. And so Coach Brandy, between that Monday and Wednesday, you and I will have to hop on and you can give us a video demonstration of the breath of fire and take us through, you know, a short yoga routine and we'll kind of put video to what we're doing here on audio. So when you listen to this episode, hold on to your butts, as I always say, and be on the lookout for our Wednesday YouTube episode where Coach Brandy will be put on the spot with some video to show us a little bit of yoga. Coach Kurt, for you, what are some practical tips? What help? I know you work a lot of training into your week on top of your job, on top of a lot of things. How do you get yoga into the routine?
Yeah, again, it's really about the efficiency and the effectiveness. I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what JoJo said. All of us have been encountered after a race that we've got to get on something called an airplane, where you sit for prolonged periods of time. Once you're comfortable with doing a couple poses, not that you want to draw too much attention on an airplane, because that can really unsettle some folks. But while you're maybe waiting in line to use the restroom, how great would it be if you can do a couple poses just to reset yourself? I think that is really, really good. I have a yoga mat. In fact, I have two in my car with a couple towels, and this is why. Just like the podcast where it's like, you might want to keep your extra swimsuit in the glove compartment in case you forget yours. Anytime, anywhere, if the pool is closed, if there's a thunderstorm or there's too much chlorine or whatever the case might be, worst case scenario, not that I do it on the freeway, but I can take a yoga mat almost anywhere. And literally in 10 to 15 minutes, I can get her done. And I think it's something that you just can incorporate at any time, anywhere. I know before races, it's so funny when you watch people, you're checking in. I mean, we were in Texas. We're checking in at 5:00. The bike is checked in. We've got an hour and 40 minutes. The bike is going to be fine. We don't have to hover. We just have to walk 20 minutes. Let's go back to the car. Let's do some yoga for 20 minutes instead of taking selfies and just going through that. What's so nice, even when you're lining for the swim, and JoJo and I, we talked about this. You got five or 10 minutes to go. You know what? Start your yoga routine right there. It'll draw a little bit of attention, but you know what I'm trying to do is get my head on straight, get my breathing down. So when I hit that water, everything is just flowing. So there's really no excuse of if you got 5 to 10 to 15 minutes, fit it in when you can, your body will definitely thank you.
All the time on the Facebook group, I see athletes ask the question, hey, I'm going to be on family vacation for a week, or oh, I had this work trip for a week. I'm away from the home studio. I'm away from my treadmill. I'm away from my bike trainer. I'm away from my pool. And so they're asking, like, do I just run every day? Well, no, don't run every day. That's a high impact sport. Do your run sessions as prescribed by TriDot, but don't add more running. Guess what? You can replace some of that biking and swimming with some yoga if you're equipped to do so. So great point there, Kurt. For the athlete who's just heard all of this, they've been inspired by your exuberant enthusiasm for yoga. They've loved the stories and they want to do hot yoga with Kurt Madden. For an athlete who wants to get into yoga, and what gear do they need? And how should they find the right class to get started here? Coach Brandy, what would you tell them?
Well, the great thing about yoga is you don't have to spend a lot of money, right? You can go in any kind of clothes. Your yoga instructor will probably tell you they want to see you in like firmer fitting clothes. That's a yoga instructor's need because they want to see your body position. But sure. when you first do it, you could just wear a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, and most gyms will have extra yoga mats. I would prefer you clean those yoga mats before you get on a used one. But so the great thing is that you really don't have to put a lot of money into it, right? You can go to your local gym, you can borrow a mat, you can join a class. There are a bunch of different, like we talked about, different types of yoga. So it really just does depend on the athlete, their age, their flexibility. But I would tell anybody just to go down to your local gym just to try it.
Yep. No, great point. Kurt, any addition from you there?
Yeah, I would say really your investment, and this is kind of scary for our listeners, because again, you could spend quite a bit of money on a bike or a wetsuit or even high-end shoes. Really, for about $50, you'll be good to go. Get a nice comfortable mat, get a nice towel, comfortable clothes that you can wear. And I think tighter clothes work better versus, because when they get wet, like JoJo said, especially in the Bikram, man, it's just like parachutes on your body. And then really, Andrew, I've got a really good water bottle. I get the ice in there and a big pitch here for precision hydration. Yeah. I dump in the 1500 because, you know, like JoJo said, when you're sweating, you got that pool around you, that jacuzzi of all that sweat coming off your body. You've got to get those electrolytes in there. So really for $50, you know, you're good to go. And it's not something that you've got to replace like every 3 months. It's like, that's just sustaining for at least 2 to 3 years. So that's what I would you know, recommend for our listeners. And then do your homework. I think it's important, word of mouth. But if you're going to do it right and do it well, try to find the best instructor, like, again, the pool school, because it's going to correct the bad habits. Once you're yourself sustained, you know the routines, then you can do it on your own almost anytime.
Yeah. And to Joanna's point that she made earlier, if finding a studio and getting to a studio is the barrier of entry for you, then just start with what you can find on YouTube. Start with what you can find, you know, just looking around on the Google machine. But if there are studios near you, Kurt, to your point, yes, you will probably learn it better, pick it up faster, have better technique, all that jazz, if you do find a studio to get plugged into. So great stuff there. We all know a lot of our athletes, a lot of our triathletes, can be very DIY with their training. And they might just want to test the shallow waters of yoga at home, you know, on their own, kind of like Joe is suggesting. To advise those athletes and kind of get them started, if they just can't get down to a studio, Kurt, like you're talking about, what are some poses that would make a solid kind of short list for triathletes to work through and get started? Brandy, what would you recommend?
So down dog is huge, right? Coach Kurt has talked about your posture. And yes, when we're in aero, we are kind of hunched over, right? When you do that, you're putting a lot of pressure on your lungs and you're kind of collapsing down into your diaphragm. So down dog is really great for opening up the chest because the arms are elongated and in front of you. And when your arms are out, you're not supposed to sit there. You're supposed to take your shoulder blades and you're supposed to push them back to the back, which really opens the chest, right? It's a multi stance because you get to stretch your calves, your hamstrings, and your glutes all at the same time if you're doing it correctly. So down dog is a great one. I love fixed firm, which is when you're on your back, your legs are bent underneath you, your knees are bent. So that's a huge thigh stretch. And then one that a lot of people probably won't tell you about would be headstand. Now, that's not a beginner's pose.
Doesn't sound like it, no.
But the reality is, yeah, it's not a beginner's pose. The reality is that every single day, gravity is working against us, right? It's pulling all of our blood down to our feet, and our heart has to work harder to bring that blood back up to the body. So even if you can do a modified headstand against a wall is what I would tell any newcomer who wants to try it. So you have that support in case you need to go backwards. You could do what's called baby crane, right? So you can look it up, I'm sure, on any kind of YouTube. But the benefit is that the blood will go in the opposite direction of the body. You don't hold this pose forever. Like I would tell you, maybe hold it for 30 seconds, put yourself back up against the wall, hold it for another 30 seconds. But experts say that by doing that pose, you can actually reverse your aging process because you're allowing your body to use gravity towards itself instead of against it.
A great solid list. And we're probably going to see some of that on video form with Coach Brandy when the YouTube show comes out this week.
I will not be doing headstand.
great. Can't wait. That won't be embarrassing for me at all. Kurt, any you would add to the list?
The one I'm going to add to what she has just suggested is the chair pose. Because the chair pose, typically you do it early in the routine, but just think of, if our listeners can visualize, your arms are directly straight out in front of you. You basically sit down slowly into an invisible chair. It activates your glutes big time and your quads, and you hold that for about a minute. Then you'll notice, wait a minute, my arms aren't straight. My legs are kind of wobbling. Then you come back up. Once you do that, then you get up on the balls of your feet. So your heels are up. Then you're kind of going back into the chair. You're going, wait a minute, this is not like my recliner in the studio where I watch all my TV programs. I'm up on the balls of my feet. You do that three times. The third part of that one is you actually put your knees together. So you put your knees together, your heels are up off the mat, and you go back into the chair and you go as far, talk about the ultimate imbalance. It's like, whoa, those are huge. So I really like that one. I think it really, again, kind of assesses where you are at that point in the session.
Coach Joe, wrapping up with you.
Well, I have two for two totally different purposes. I'm a big fan of like a beginner not knowing any yoga, just doing forward fold at the hip. And it's kind of a ragdoll position. You can let your arms just kind of dangle, or you can kind of interlock your arms. And it's the same thing that Brandy was talking about, is letting that, you know, it opens up the entire posterior chain, you know, hammies, glutes, calves, all, you know, holding that. It is one of the poses that helps with sleep as well. So doing that right before you go to bed. But on a funnier note, if you want to scar your three teenage children for life, your three teenage sons, do happy baby in front of their friends. They will never forgive you for that positioning, and they'll never get that mental image out of their head.
You're terrible, Joe.
Brandy and Kurt know exactly what you're talking about. I do not, and I'm kind of scared.
Go
I'm
ahead,
kinda
Google
scared
it.
To, Joe. I'm kind of scared to. I'm going to, out of curiosity, but I am scared to. Okay, to close out the show, and so that's right there. If you're an athlete who you just know, you know what, in the next 3 to 6 months, there's no way I'm making my way down to a yoga studio. It's just not going to happen for one reason or another. Go back, listen to those last 3-4 minutes, and write down the poses that our three coaches give you. Google them, find them, except for that last one, and build your own little routine out of Brandy, Kurt, and Joe's recommendations. To close out our main set today, for all three of you, I want to hear one yoga pose that you just love. It's your jam. It's your favorite. You will do it to the ends of the earth. And one that you find yourself struggling with if it comes up in your routine. And let's go Coach Kurt here.
The one that I would probably choose, the one I think I can actually execute the best, and Brandy and I have done yoga together, so I'm sure she'll say, no, Coach, that's not the one. But it's the warrior, because I think the warrior is the ultimate, that I feel like I can hold that and not be totally uncomfortable, that it's good. And I want to continue to refine that. The one that I really have trouble with is called the bow, B-O-W pose. So for the listeners, try to visualize this. You're laying down on your stomach. You're hyperextending your back. Your neck is up. Your head is up. Then you're reaching back behind you, Andrew. Go with me now. Reaching behind you.
Nope.
You're grabbing your feet.
Can't do it.
And then you're pulling your feet up to make it like a bow. It's so funny when we get to this pose at the end. I'm looking around and I see some people, they are so arched. They're like contortionists. Their legs are so high up in the back. I'm like, I think I need to take my car in and get the front end aligned, because my body doesn't quite do that yet. I mean, if I can come up with that bow pose like 2 to 3 inches, I am like ecstatic. And I know I've got to work on that one a little bit. So the bow pose, if you want to be stretched and challenged, don't do it after you've consumed alcohol or anything crazy, because you're not going to have fun at all.
I am years away from being flexible enough to attempt that pose, I'm sure, just by your description there. Joe, one that you love, one that you struggle with.
I love bow pose. I actually love camel as well. I like the chest opener. But flexibility, cheerleading, a lot, you know, I still pride myself in a lot of that, and it feels good. So those are two that I do routinely. Thinking about what troubles me, I do struggle with my feet. So I would have to say probably lying. Sitting on those feet can be painful, and it's sometimes you don't want to do it, or you don't want to hold it more than 1 second. But it is really, really good. And I know Brandy, my friend, always talks about not neglecting your feet. So that would be one I encourage people to work in almost every day. And another tip, I do this, most men will be like, no, thank you. But if you're in the bathtub and you're warmer, doing some of those stretches while you are in there, it's just, it is a way that you're already warmed up. You've got that hot water. And so stretching your feet or your hamstrings in some of those poses works really well.
All right. All right. Coach Brandy, throwing this to you to shut down the main set. One pose you love, one pose you struggle with.
So for me, that A-type personality, I have a son who's 18. He was a competitive gymnast. My oldest is 23. She was a competitive gymnast. Just ego-based. I love that I could still do the splits on both legs. And my two children, they cannot.
Nice.
So we often have like split-offs, if you would, in the house.
You win.
Way to go, Mom.
So I do really love that. I love pigeon to splits. So that's great for your sciatica, for your hips, and of course, for stretching out the legs. So that's my favorite. The one I still struggle with now, now that I've gone through everything I've gone through in my life, would be dancer pose. It is a balanced pose where you bring one leg up, you flip one hand in the wrong direction, you grab that back foot, and that front arm comes up and the back foot comes up behind you. Think about a ballet dancer.
So hard.
It's really sad that I can't hold that pose anymore. I used to be able to. So I'm struggling with that one recently.
All right. That's our main set today. Do not forget, Coach Kurt gave everybody that listens to this. And I see the numbers of how many people listen to every episode. And so I expect to see a lot of athletes reporting on the I'm Trying Facebook group that Coach Kurt gave you homework to try yoga. What was it, Kurt, for 30 days?
30-day challenge. Get into your first yoga class and do it for the remainder of the 2023 season. That way you'll be in good standing with the Cool Kids Club or the Tri-Dot Tribe.
All right, next 30 days, get to your first yoga class somewhere in the next 30 days and stick with it after that.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Hey everyone, it's cool down time, and I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm. Our featured Tri-Dot coach today is Donnie Winship. I first met him in Utah at the Tri-Dot Ambassador Camp as we were neighbors at our accommodation. And let me tell you what an amazing person he is. You know, the calm, cool, collected type who has a heart of gold. And he also has this soulful nature where helping everyone he meets is a legitimate part of his mission. Donnie is a financial planner, and he has also founded a company called Bright Owl, which is a product for home emergency lighting, or even for those times when it's 4 a.m., you know, the time when you have to get your training underway without turning on all the lights and waking up all your family members. Yes, this product would come in handy for you. Well, Donnie has a long history of coaching, including a USS swim team, beginners, masters, and even junior nationals. He has been an athlete with Tri-Dot for over 4 years and a Tri-Dot coach for 1 year. He specializes in long course athletes and emphasizes swimming and the mental side of training and racing. Donnie is extremely passionate about his athlete successes and is quick to point out positives in every situation. So welcome to the cool down, Donnie.
Oh, thanks for being here. I'm looking forward to this.
It's going to be great. Now, I think something else that people need to know about you is that you are curious, and we're talking like really curious. Now, I heard this little story about the time you did your first full distance try and you saw what looked to be a shark tooth at the bottom of the ocean. So naturally, you abandoned all thoughts of racing and you tried to dive down to retrieve it. So, was this actually a shark tooth?
Okay, that's funny. That's actually a little embarrassing because I'm in the middle of a race, so I should be racing. Yes, I saw a shark tooth. Was it an actual shark tooth? I don't know. It was a little deeper than I thought it was going to be. So I started to dive down. You know, when you get too deep, yeah, your ear pressure, yeah, all the water pressure. So the water pressure hits, and I realized, dude, I'm in a race. I got to get going. So I abandoned the shark tooth. I'm going to say it was one.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to say it was either a megalodon or a great white.
Wow. Now, we're going to get to a coach tip, and you're going to talk about swimming. And hopefully it doesn't include swimming, you know, down deep to pick up shark tooths. Maybe it has something to do with retrieving treasures while racing. I'm not sure. So what do you have for us today?
I have a swim tip. I don't mean to sound like I'm giving a commercial for Pool School, but if you can do one, get there. They are phenomenal clinics. I have seen people drop time every single clinic and a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But I guess to give a good swim tip, I would say develop your kick.
Okay.
I hear time and time again, athletes are told from certain coaches that you don't want to kick in the water because you're going to wear out your legs on the bike. That is completely not true. In order to have good technique in swimming, you have to have good balance and body position, and that absolutely comes from your kick and your abs. So do sit-ups and work your core as well. But if you can develop a good kick, you will speed up your swim by not only the propulsion from the kick, but also the lift it gives you to reduce your form drag.
Mm-hmm.
So my best tip is work on that kick. Don't neglect it.
So do you have anything that athletes can try in the pool in terms of improving their kick? Like, what would be the first thing that you would suggest to get that kick to be to allow us to improve our body position or be more efficient at kicking? Or what would you suggest?
I would at least be doing at each practice 500 to 700 yards or meters in kicks every single practice. Probably start with fins, mm-hmm. Sprints, 25s, 50s, 100s with fins so that you can develop muscle in the legs for kicking, and then eventually go from fins to no fins and just work on the speed of the kick.
Okay.
Anything else, I'm going to have to say go to pool school.
Yeah, right.
I'm kidding.
But for those of us like me who live on the other side of the world and there is no current pool school offering over here, would you say that this type of, would you do this kick with a kickboard, or are you dolphin kicking, or what kind of kicking would you suggest?
I would use both a kickboard and not a kickboard. I would do, you don't always want to put the wear and tear on your shoulders, but the kickboard mm-hmm. does give you some stability and you can just focus on your kick. Absolutely. Okay. Use kickboard and fins again to build the muscle. I would also do it without a kickboard on your back in a streamlined position, because not only will that help develop the kick, but it will also help work on your core at the same time, because it's you're on your back all of a sudden and you have a different type of lift. So it's working your core as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good. I've been practicing on my back and man, does that make the glutes burn.
Absolutely.
It's a butt burner.
I will tell you a little story, because every bad swimmer has a bad kick. Every great swimmer has a great kick. And when you recognize okay. that, it's phenomenal. So many, many years ago, when I first got into triathlons, I was doing swim workouts with a coach. He was also a coach. And he actually coached people in the Olympics. Phenomenal swimmer. So we're doing nice. Hundreds on a pace of about 115, 120. I'm swimming. He's kicking. He's passing me. His
Whoa.
Kick was so strong that he was actually passing my swim.
Wow. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.